Praise God, praise God, praise God. The title to my sermon today is Abundance of Rain in the Third Day. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now. I ask you to have your way. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, for you alone are worthy of it all. I ask you to just pour yourself through me today as I share this word, and just give your people ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And let us begin to know that, Father, that we've entered into that third day, and that, Father, you're going to do some marvelous things no matter what it looks like out in the world. We don't look with the eyes of the natural. We look with the eyes of the Spirit. And, Father, as we look with the eyes of the Spirit, we can see your wonderful, wonderful hand moving upon your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, like I told you, the title to this sermon today is Abundance of Rain in the Third Day. You know, there was a time when Jesus was getting ready to come out of the temple, and he had been in there, and the money changers, and there was a lot of a lot of financial things going on in the temple where they should have been there worshiping and praising God and magnifying the Lord. They were doing everything but that. They was making a lot of money. And you know what? He took some cords and he began to beat them with it. And he flipped over the tables and everything else. You know, Jesus wasn't too violent most of the time, but he got a little violent there because he told them, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise, you know. And, you know, right then the revelation of the true house of God hadn't been given yet, you know. They worshiped in the temple over in Jerusalem. And be honest with you, a lot of Christian people want them to build a temple over in Jerusalem again. And, you know, I don't think that's ever going to happen because know you not, you're the temple of God. And if you're the temple of God, he don't need no, he's not worshiped in places of brick and mortar and all that. And I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm about 60 years almost. And you know what? They've been talking about building that. They're getting ready to start building it tomorrow, next week, 3 months from now. You know, they're getting all the stuff together. They've been saying that for 60 years. And you know what? It's not going to happen. You're the temple of God. You're lively stones. You're built together with God for a habitation through the Spirit of God. And until we begin to come together as the temple of God and begin to fulfill the things that God wants us to fulfill, people are going to keep looking for a natural temple. But praise God, the real spiritual temple is being built, and it's you. You're a part of it. Praise God. But anyway, after Jesus had driven them out of the temple, in John 2:18 through 23 says this, and I'm going to pick up with verse 18, and it says, "And then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou us, seeing that thou do these things?" And what kind of sign are you going to show us that's going to justify what you just did? Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. It took 46 years to build this thing. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Are you going to rebuild it in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. And therefore he was risen from the dead, when the disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, you know, I know you know the term of what Christians are called. We're called the body of Christ. Isn't that right? We hear people say that a lot, that we're the body of Christ. Well, he said, when he said he would raise it up in 3 days, it had to happen in the natural first, and then it has to happen spiritually. And I'm going to go on and read you a couple more scriptures here. It says,
Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he had done. Luke 13, 31 through 32 says this, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, Get thee out and depart, for Herod desires to kill you. And he said unto them, You go and tell that old fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." And I got news for you, folks. In Bible times of days and years and so on and so forth, we're in the third day. We've been in the third day now for 24 years. Funny, because 24 in Scripture is the number for the priesthood. And it's about time the priesthood starts coming forth and starts speaking the truth to the church and starts helping them to grow up and to rise up into what God has called them to do. Praise God. You know, in Hosea 6, 1 and 3, and this has been spoken on two or three different times in the last year or so, but I felt like the Lord took me there yesterday and he dealt with me about it. He says, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal." You ever feel like you're torn? Sometimes you get torn. And guess who did the tearing? God did. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, they came one time with a blind man and they asked Jesus, "Who did sin that this man was born blind?" And Jesus told him, "His mother or his father, or who?" He said, "Neither. Neither." He said, "This happened that the glory of God might be revealed." And you know, Jesus prayed for him and he received his sight, you know. But anyway, I want you to realize, he said, "Come, let us return unto the Lord. He has torn, he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up." You know, the nice thing about it is whenever the Lord smites you a little bit, he turns around and binds you right back up. That's the neat thing, you know. And the word return there, "Come, let us return unto the Lord," that word literally has part of the meaning of it was this: with a brightness of face. And when you come to him with brightness of face, you have to have been in his presence. You know, when Moses went up on the mount to converse with the Lord when they were out in the desert, they said that when he came down, his face was so bright that he had to put a cover over it. He had to actually wear a veil over his face because of the glory of God that was being revealed in him. I got news for you, folks. That was a pretty magnificent glory. But there's going to be a greater glory than that revealed in his children, in the sons of God, as they come forth into the earth to set creation free. And Romans, the 8th chapter, says, "All creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." Hello, sons of God. You say, "Well, why do you call me a son of God?" Because it says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God," Scripture says, "these are the sons of God." Yes, so praise God. We need to quit saying someday, somehow, somewhere, and start claiming what God's word declares about us. We are his children. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And when I say daughters, I'm not lessening that one bit. Because in Christ, there's neither male nor female, it says. I want you to know that women are as much a son of God as a man is. Sons of God are they that follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And if you go on a little bit, verse 2 says, "After 2 days will he revive us." You know, the first couple days of Christianity, the first couple thousand years A thousand years is as a day with the Lord, Scripture tells us. I'm just going to clarify that with you. So the first couple days of Christianity, the first couple thousand years, I don't know about you all, but I heard it many, many, many times where churches were saying, revival. We're going to have a revival. We're going to have a revival. And everybody that's been a Christian very long, you sat in some revivals, you went to revivals, and everything else. And revivals are wonderful, but they just don't totally get the job done. And I want you to know, it says here, it says, after 2 days, it says, he will revive us. And, you know, the word for revive there literally means he will begin to bring us into a union and into witnessing. It's time for us to come into a place of union and witnessing, but he wants to take us even beyond that. You know, and it says, and in the third day, not on the third day, but in the third day. I like it says in the third day in the King James. You know, as we move into the third day and all that that means and all of the power and the authority that God wants to reveal into the earth, in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight, the scripture says. And I looked at that years ago, that word sight there, and it's not a real good translation of the word because it says we shall live in his face. Scripture says when we see him as he is, we shall be just like him.
You know, when you're in somebody's face, you see them just like they are. You get up and look at my face too close, and you're going to see bumps and wrinkles and all kinds of stuff because I'm getting old. But I'm going to tell you what, when you look in the face of Jesus, you're looking into the glory of God. And that glory begins to not only begin to see it, you begin to start to reflect it. You begin to start to delve it out to other people. And I tell you what, that's what he wants us to begin to do. Praise God. The next verse there says, then shall we know. It's time for us to get to the place where we know, where we don't speculate or we don't sort of know, but then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Remember what I just said to you about as many as follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? These are the sons of God. If we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. Well, you know what happens in the morning, in the natural? The sun comes up. You ever tried to stop the sun from coming up? It don't work. I worked night shift a little while one time. I had room darkening shades in our bedroom. That daggone light just broke right on through the outside edges, a little bit underneath, and as much as I tried to keep it dark in there so I could sleep during the day, it just did not work. It looked like I had a lamp on over in the corner somewhere or something almost when I looked at the windows because that light broke through. You cannot keep light from breaking through. It's going to come. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is as the morning, and he shall come unto us. And I love this. As the rain, as the latter rain, and as the former rain. Well, that just sounds like a lot of rain. But I tell you what, every one of those words for rain has a different meaning. It's a different word. And it says there that he shall come unto us as the rain. That's the shower. And you know, in the first day of Christianity, there was a beautiful shower that came. The word, and when you talk about water, water's talking about the Word of God. And anytime the Scripture mentions water, it's talking about His Word. And His Word was mighty, and it was very mighty. It was a wonderful shower. But it only lasted in that power and authority of the very first, when it first happened, for a short span of time. And then there was showers here and there and so on and so forth. But the next one says, it shall come as the latter rain. That was in the second day. You know, the latter rain literally has the meaning of spring rain. You know what happens in the springtime? I don't care what you plan, you better plan well. You better take an umbrella with you, or you better take one of them tent cover things that you can put up if you're having a picnic or something, because you just never know in the spring when it's going to rain. And it rains a lot in the spring. And if it does, then there's beautiful flowers and there's going to be a mighty harvest sometime. But that second word there for rain means a spring rain. And then the last one is the former rain. It's entirely different meaning to that word rain there. And here's what it means: to flow as water, to rain, to lay or to throw or to shoot an arrow, figuratively to point out by aiming the finger, to teach or teaching. That's what that rain means. A lot of people say today, you know, certain ministers, boy, they do a lot of teaching. I like it when the preachers preach. And it's nice when a preacher preaches. They get you excited for a minute. But a lot of times they don't tell you how to do it. They don't tell you, they don't explain to you what the Word of God actually means. They get up there, some of them jump around and holler and hoot and holler and get out of breath. And you know, I've heard people say back during the Pentecostal movement when people first started doing that, one of the main reasons that happened is because when the Spirit of God moved on people, and I'm going to say this down in Kentucky and places like that, who had worked in the coal mines, they had a lot of coal dust on their lungs, and they could not talk very long without taking a deep breath because they were getting out of breath real fast. And everybody thought that when somebody did that, that meant the Holy Spirit was moving like crazy. And sometimes he was, and sometimes he wasn't. But they all had a tendency, and a lot of people, after they got saved later on and started preaching, if they didn't do that, people didn't think that they had the Holy Spirit, because they had heard that from the people down in the country and working in the mines and all that stuff. But let me tell you what, that third day, and we're in that third day right now. We've been in the third day for 24 years, like I told you. You know, I remember not too long ago, there was this great conspiracy about that when we turned over into the year 2000, all the computers weren't going to work and all kind of stuff was going to happen and everything was going to shut down and all this stuff. And you know what? Margaret and I stood, we was up, and I told us, I ain't worried about that stuff. God's in control of all that. I don't even listen to that mess. And you know what happened when it rolled over to 2000? Nothing. All their conspiracies, all of their stuff that they had said was not true. They didn't know what was going to happen. And let me tell you what. I'm going to tell you what happened. What happened there was we would begin to move over into that former rain. And that former rain is a rain of teaching. It's a rain of pointing with the finger. It's a rain of showing people the Word of God, of really bringing them to a real true knowledge of it, pointing with the finger, a teaching. It's a teaching rain. And it's going to teach people how to grow up into Christ, how to begin to move into the glory of God, how to begin to set creation free. Because first thing it needs to teach people is who and what they really are. They're not what they think they are. And I'm going to tell you what. What you really are is you're a son of God. You're kings and priests unto God. You've been called to set creation free. You know, in the Old Testament, we had an example of that in one place. Just one place in the Old Testament. And that was when Abraham came back from the slaughter of kings. And there was a war going on, and there was a slaughter of kings. And someone met him after that when he came back. And the person that met him was called Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, his name means king of righteousness, king of peace, king of Salem. And what did he do? He brought forth bread and wine unto Abraham. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And buddy, what did Abraham do? Abraham began to pay tithes. He gave him a tenth of everything that he had. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of little churches that are just struggling, trying to make it, just going from week to week. There's going to come a day when the ones who have it out there are going to come and bring it and lay it at the feet of the church so that God's word can go forth everywhere, so that things can be done, things can be accomplished. You might think that God has enriched you or caused you to be very wealthy or whatever you want to call it. He didn't give you that stuff for no reason. He gave it to you for a reason. And I tell you what, there's coming a time as this word goes forth, and it really goes forth, where people are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and it says that they might be set free, creation. You know what creation is? That's all of it. Didn't say a certain thing. That creation might be set free into the glorious liberty of being what? The children of God. I tell you what, folks, we're going to have to come to that place. And you're called to do these things. You're called to do this. Praise God. I want you to know that. I'm going to read you this. This came out of a book, Morning and Evening, and I thought, wow, this is tremendous. It's very good. It says, here is sovereignty and mercy. I will give them shower in its season. Is it not sovereign divine mercy? For who can say, I will give them showers except God? There is only one voice which can speak to the clouds and bid them beget the rain. Who sendeth down the rain upon the earth, who scattereth the showers upon the green herb. Do not I, the Lord, sow grace is the gift of God and is not to be created by man. It is also needed grace. What would the ground do without showers? You know what? There's a lot of ground, and I'm talking about people out there, that have never felt the showers. They're dry. They have no. They might have seed in them that's never came forth, because the seed can't come forth without the rain. And Scripture says to every man is dealt a measure of faith. They've got faith in them. It just ain't never been watered yet. And guess what? We need to start watering it. Remember what I said to you last week, where Isaac went and sat. He sat at that well, and he just sat there. And I begin to tell you that God wants, he wants us to be, that was the well of the one who sees, and that's God. He's the only one that sees. He sat at that well. His whole ministry, I've studied into Isaac pretty good. Isaac's whole ministry was to go and redig the wells that the enemies of God had clogged up with dirt. He redug them. And when Jesus came, I told you years ago that the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Abraham was a type of the father, Isaac was a type of the son, Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come. Hello, Jacob, that's you. And you know what? He's in the process of changing your name to Israel. He shall rule as God in you and in creation. Until we come to the realization of that, we're not going to totally be fulfilling our ministry. praise God. And it says here, it says, who sendeth down the rain upon the earth, who scattereth the showers upon the green herb. Do not I the Lord? So shall the gift of God, and it's not to be created by man. It also needs grace. What shall the ground do without showers? You may break the clods, you may sow your seed, but you can do without rain nothing. And as a result, needful is divine blessing. In vain your labor, until God, the plenteous showers is bestowed. Send salvation down when it is plenteous grace. I will send them showers. It does not say I will send them drops, but showers, a lot of showers, abundance of rain. That's abundance of really the teaching of the Word of God, the anointing that will break the yokes in people's lives. So it is with grace. If God gives a blessing, He usually gives it in such a measure that there is not room enough to receive it. Plenteous grace. Ah, we want plenteous grace to keep us humble, to make us prayerful, and make us holy. Plenteous grace to make us zealous, to preserve us through this life, at last to land us, and it says in heaven, but I'm going to tell you in the heavenly realms, with a heavenly mind, with the mind of Christ. That's why Jesus could stand when he was standing right there in front of him and talking to him. He said, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven. Because he had that heavenly consciousness, that heavenly mind. And he only did that which he seen his Father do. He only spoke that which he heard his Father speak. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Again, it is a seasonable grace. I will cause the showers to come down in His season. Whose season? God's season, His season. What is my season this morning? This is a season of drought. When it is a season of showers, it is a season of great heaviness and black clouds, then that is a season for showers. So when you find the heaviness and the black clouds, don't feel too bad about that. Don't feel too bad, because I tell you what, a lot of times that's a sign that it's getting ready to rain in the natural. And it's also a sign in the spirit when it's beginning to rain. It's going to rain. Praise the Lord. And as the day, so shall thy strength be. And there is a very blessing. I will give the showers of blessing, the word in the plural, all kinds of blessings. God will send all God's blessings go together like links of a golden chain. If He gives covering grace, He will also give comforting grace. He will send the showers of blessing. Look up today, O parched plant. Open up your leaves and flowers for the heavenly watering. And I'm going to tell you what. I believe that we've moved into the third day. And I told you that that meant basically it's a teaching ministry, but there's going to be abundance of rain. And we're going to close with this. I wish I had somebody up here to sing that could sing better than me. You want to come up and sing, Joey?
No.
I thought you wanted to sing. Come on, Joey. Come and sing this for me. Yeah, go ahead.
The Lord put something on my heart this week, and I just wanted to share it.
Okay.
He does all things well.
Yes, He does.
Praise the Lord.
And the song that we're going to sing, and I know a lot of you remember the song, so when I start singing it, you'll know it, but please don't pay too much attention to my singing. Just pay attention to the words. And the name of the song is It's Beginning to Rain. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He said, whosoever will come drink of this water, he's promised to pour his Spirit out on his sons and his daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your voice to the sky. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He said, whosoever will come drink of this water, he's promised to pour his Spirit out on his sons and his daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your voice to the sky. It's beginning to rain. One more time. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He said, whosoever will come drink of this water, he's promised to pour his Spirit out on his sons and his daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your voice to the sky. It's beginning to rain. Notice in that song, he says it's beginning to rain, rain, rain. How many times? Three times. By the Spirit, when someone wrote this song, I didn't write it, somebody else did. When somebody wrote this song, guess what? Spirit of God was talking about the rain that was going to come out of Hosea. Praise God. And we just sang it three times. I just want you to know, I felt like we needed to sing it three times. Because there's a shower. Then there's a spring rain. We've experienced that spring rain before. And this last rain is the greatest of them all. It's the teaching rain, where he begins to teach us how to be at peace. And we become peacemakers and begin to teach the world how to be at peace. And it's time, folks. It's time. We're getting there. We need to say, Lord, what would you have me do each day? And you know, a lot of times we think that when the scriptures talks about a nation, it's a whole continent or something. Every person you come in contact with, they're a nation. They're their own nation. And you know, they've got a king sitting on their throne. Now, whether or not it's the Lord Jesus Christ, or self sitting on this in the temple showing himself to be God, you know, but we need to start teaching them who the real king is that dwells in that temple. Praise God. All right, well, that's all I had to share with you today. If you'll stand up, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, we give you all praise, we give you all glory, we give you all honor, Father. Thank you for this little word that you gave me today to share. Thank you, Father, that we could see that there's three different categories of that rain that Hosea was talking about. And Father, we're in that third day. We're in that third rain. Don't get too discouraged if somebody's teaching you, because you need to be taught. And once you learn the lessons, and sometimes people will say, well, you know, I heard Brother Eddie say one time, and Brother Eddie was very good about almost never sharing the same sermon. You know, I sat and listened to Brother Eddie for years and years and years, and a different sermon, different sermon, different sermon. But you know what? I'm going to tell you what. That was needed for all of us back then. But I'm going to tell you what. A good teacher repeats himself until they will teach something, until, guess what? You get it. When you get it, they don't need to teach it anymore. And some people will say to me, Oscar, why do you always talk about sonship? Why do you always talk about this? Why do you always talk? Once I know you all got it, I'll shut up. Because I won't have to talk about it, because you'll be out there talking about it to everybody you come in contact with. You'll be pouring the water of the word on them and watching the seed of faith spring forth out of that dry clod of dirt that they are right now, because they don't acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And you'll get to see all of a sudden that sprout come up out of them, and you'll begin to see that that sprout will turn into a big tree, and after a while that tree will bear fruit, and the fruit will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, And against such, there is no what? Law. Praise God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless your people as they go forth. Help them to begin to see your word in greater depths. And, Father, I know sometimes I'm not the greatest person to be teaching anybody. But I know that when you give me a word, I try to share it. And I just ask you to bless your people, Father, and let them begin to just see the beauty of you and your word, and begin to not only see the word, but begin to be transformed into that word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. So you guys go and have a wonderful, wonderful day.